Acts chapter 16. If you need a Bible, we do have extras there in the pew that you can use, or if you'd prefer to look on with someone. While you're continuing to get there, I just want to remind you of these ribbons right here. The Lord uses them greatly. This is just an example of some of the ribbons that the young people will be earning throughout the week, and the ribbon spray grows throughout the week. They add to that by memorizing scripture, bringing friends, just bringing their Bible. There's so many things that we have involved there, and they get fired up. I'm telling you. And the name Booster came from the founder, Charles Holmshire, back in the 1950s, got a burden for young people over in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and started running a bus, picking up kids. And over the past 52 years, the Lord has blessed greatly. And many thousands upon thousands of children and teenagers have trusted Jesus as their Savior. And one of the names Booster for the little ones is that they would be boosters for the Lord Jesus Christ. And making much of him. So you'll see those this week. And if you want one, adults, you can have one too. All right. And you can wear that with pride. And we just want to be a blessing again to all those that come here this week. We got to have so many visitors throughout the week. We want to make them feel right at home. I believe the best compliment of a local church is my personal opinion. I believe the best compliment of a local church is somebody to come on campus and to feel like family. I mean, think about that. You step on a campus somewhere and go to church and people make you feel like family, whew, that's a blessing. So I just encourage you to do that always. And we just want folks to know that this is where the Lord is working in our lives, and we want to just glorify Him. Well, Acts chapter 16, I want to give an account today of something similar that we have seen happen today, even in the sense of baptism, which took place. So I'm going to read through that in just a moment. But this is probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Acts chapter 16, a phenomenal account of the Apostle Paul doing the work of God. You know, it's amazing. Not only will God save anybody, thank God He'll use anybody. Hallelujah. Because He got the bottom of the bottom when He found me. And I'm thankful that He'll use anybody. I know where I'm coming from. And the Lord would use me, and He'll do the same for you. The Apostle Paul, he used to hate Christians. He had a testimony of wreaking havoc among the church of God. He was one of those guys that he would come into a church like this and lock us all up and separate families and bring persecution. He hated them. He did it zealously. He thought he was doing the right thing. And he just was a Pharisee, and he was on a pathway just to murder Christians, imprison them, and just to take out the church. He hated Jesus. He hated Jesus. He believed Jesus was a great imposter, the greatest liar. He believed he's the greatest liar that ever lived, to claim to be God and to claim to be the Savior of the world. That's what Paul thought. He was a liar and a lunatic. And by the way, if Jesus is not God, which I believe He is, if He were not God, He would indeed be the biggest liar and lunatic that's ever lived. Because of what he claimed about himself throughout the New Testament and what the Old Testament declares him to be. I'm telling you, Paul did not like Jesus, but I'm thankful. I'm going to get happy in here in a minute. I'm thankful that God even loves them that don't like him. Isn't that beautiful? But God commended his love in that while we were yet sinners, you might as well say anything you want, rascals, rebels, sinners. That's who we were. But Christ died for us. He commended that his love. He proved it. That word commended, it's a beautiful word. Romans 5:8 means he displayed it. He displayed his love. And he displayed it on the cross of Calvary. on the cross of Calvary, my Savior proved His love. Somebody say, Brother, how do you know that God loves you? Because of Calvary. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, that He would vote a sinner like me, a worm He went to die. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. And by the way, it was a big burden. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Hey, listen, it was the Lord that made the difference. And it's the Lord that made the difference in Paul's life. He didn't like Jesus. He didn't like Christians. But on the road to Damascus, Jesus met Paul where he was. I'm glad Jesus met me where I was, and where He met you where you were. You remember? You may not remember the day. I don't remember the day of mine. Some people remember what they had for breakfast that morning. That's wonderful. I think if you got a memory like that, and you know there's nothing wrong with that. I don't remember the time or the day, but I remember the season of my life where I turned my heart to Jesus and put my faith in Him and no longer in me. It was there that Jesus met me, and that's where He met you. And Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. And you know what Paul's salvation was? We better be careful on getting and being hard on people and not praying the right prayer. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we get off on that, folks. Well, did we pray it just right? Listen, you know what Paul's salvation prayer was? First word, Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, there's some Baptists that would be so judgmental and critical of that prayer. Now, listen, I get it. A person needs to realize they're a sinner. But do you think Paul realized when he saw Jesus that he was a sinner? Oh, yes. That's repentance. You realize who you are, and you realize you're wrong, and you need to choose right, which is Jesus Christ. That's repentance and faith. Turn from your way to Jesus' way. And that's what Paul did, and it saved. He got saved. He got born again. And man, it was awesome. It was awesome. You think of the most vile person in your community, maybe down your street, whatever, around here. You think they get saved? Think how awesome that would be. But you know what? The people in the book of Acts, even the believers like you and me, we can be a little bit skeptical of people. Well, they were of Paul. Paul was such a rascal. When he got saved and started getting things right and was led back to the church to meet some believers, they started saying, that guy right there, we can't trust him. He's the one. You see what he did to Stephen? He stood there and took the garments there when they stoned Stephen. He observed. He watched the murder of a Christian. We can't trust that guy. Well, I'm thankful that there were people like a man by the name of Barnabas. You've heard of Barnabas. Barnabas was that guy that looked at the life of Paul and said, you know what? I believe God's in this. I believe God saved Paul. I'm going to help him. I'm going to encourage him. That's what he did. He started growing. Started growing in the Lord, started growing in grace. The believers ended up receiving him. It took a while, but Paul was the real deal. Well, to fast forward, he went on a journey. God called him to be a missionary. And he started preaching, he and Barnabas. Well, this is the second missionary journey. He took one. I'm going to fast forward you where we come to the chapter 16. It's the second journey. Paul going across the world at the call of God to take the gospel to the world. The gospel is the only hope that the human being has. Did you hear what I said? The gospel is the only hope that the human being has. It's the gospel. Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again for a sinner like me. So we find here in chapter 16, would you look there with me? I'm going to begin reading in verse number 26. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. I love this verse. Oh my. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Ladies and gentlemen, that is the question of the ages. Notice Paul's response. And Silas. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." I want us to read that verse 31 together as a church. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help me in these next few moments just to talk about the display of salvation. Work in hearts. Lord, if there's any among us, Lord, that's still uncertain, unsure where they're going to spend eternity, I pray that you would come upon them like never before and display your love. Oh God, and may they trust you for salvation today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The power of God is on full display in Acts chapter 16. You see, when Paul landed in the first part of the chapter, it says that he came to a place called Derbe and Lystra, and he found a disciple there, a follower of God by the name of Timotheus. And God was doing a work in his life and helping them reach even the believers to encourage them. But notice what else takes place at the beginning. They, as they're preaching the gospel, they come upon the river to go worship, and they meet a lady later on in this chapter by the name of Lydia. Okay? This was because God had called them to that area by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting because Paul didn't really want to go that direction. But I'm thankful that even when, even when we don't necessarily want to do something, God in His mercy will help us to understand His way. God does that. And He did that for Paul. And he got the Macedonian call, and he's going to meet a lady by the name of Lydia. Now, Lydia was a special lady in verse 14 that you'll see in chapter 16. She was a businesswoman. The Bible says she was a seller of purple. She was probably very wealthy and very successful. And from the city of Thyatira there. The Bible says she was worshiping God. And this is Paul and Silas going down by the river. And they find themselves amongst a group of ladies that are seeking God. And it's interesting how the Lord is going to use Paul to point her to Christ. Now notice what it says in verse 14. It says that she was a seller of purple which worshipped God. It says, "heard us." That's significant. That's what you're doing today. You're here hearing the Word of God. Now notice this next phrase. Don't forget it. "Whose heart the Lord opened." You ought to underline that in your Bible if you make it a habit to do that. It says, "the Lord, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended," again, listened, "unto the things which were spoken of Paul." And verse 15 says, "and when she was baptized." That came after her salvation. Let me explain something to you about salvation. I believe that when a person responds to the gospel, God gives more light. Every person in this room has the capacity to believe. Even though we're sinners, and yes, we are dead in our trespasses and sins, but that doesn't mean that we don't have the capacity to exercise faith. God gives us that ability, and it's a choice. And this lady was obviously seeker. She was seeking the truth, but she didn't have it at this time. There's people all around this church that are very religious. I mean, and I'll be honest with you, I believe there are people that are sincere and they're trying to seek God. And I believe it is our responsibility to get them the gospel. so that they can come to the conclusion, as Brother Hunter taught so well this morning on the subject of faith, faith is coming to the conclusion that this is it. This is it. God spoke it. I'm taking it. I'm concluding in my own heart, this is for me, and I am trusting. She wasn't at that point, but thank God she came to that point. And that's where the church there would start in the church of Philippi. You may be familiar with the book of Philippians. Well, that would be a letter Paul would write to this church later on, just thanking them for how encouraging they were. But it started with this lady. And it didn't come without its battle. There was a demon-possessed girl that was going around, and Paul was going around preaching, and the Bible says there was a demon-possessed girl saying, "Here, this man is a servant of God, preaching of the Most High salvation." And she kept doing that for days and days, and it was of the devil. By the way, just because somebody's saying the right thing, you got to be careful. She was doing it for the wrong reason. There's a lot of people saying right things with a wrong motive. That's where the discernment of God comes in place, ladies and gentlemen. The Holy Spirit discerning. Well, she was of the devil. What she was doing is she was trying to associate herself with Paul as a demon-possessed girl. And all the community knew who she was. And Paul finally said, look, in the name of Jesus Christ, he said that, asked that demon to get out of her. And he did. And the devil was trying to keep people from trusting Christ. So Paul dealt with that. But then what I want to focus on in the remaining minutes that I have, not only did Lydia get saved, but after Paul got persecuted because those rascals there that were taking advantage of people with that slave girl, she was possessed with demons and she was like we have these fortune tellers, if you will, and psychics and whatnot that you see around and telling the future. A lot of that's just a bunch of gibberish that they will speak, and maybe they'll try to get some clues from you. They'll do it. Some of those people are really possessed, and it's no joke, by the way. No joke. You don't play around with demons. Ouija boards, fortune tellers, you stay away from that stuff. You don't want to open up. That's another message. But nevertheless, her owners were so mad. Because what right does you have to cast that demon out? That was her power to tell people's future and to do these works, these magical acts that she was doing and whatnot. What right do you have? They were so mad. So what did they do? The Bible says they started beating them. They beat them. Notice verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, this is Paul and Silas, they were cast into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now, notice that jailer right there is the same one that's going to get saved. All right. So it says, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. They were in maximum security and made their feet fast in the stocks. But notice the response. Notice, I love verse 25. Again, it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Verse 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas did what, church? Prayed. They prayed out to God. And then what'd they do? And sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I don't have a lot of time to go into detail, but can you please use your sanctified imagination in this? These men had just been beat severely. They weren't any first aid kits in this prison, I'm telling you. They didn't have any doctors, nurses attended to them. They were in a lot of pain. They were thrown in the innermost part of the prison where it's dark. And they could have, I don't know, maybe they had some naps during some times and rest. I don't know, but it says when midnight came around, Paul and Silas said they were praying, calling out to God and praising God. What a testimony. Can you just meditate that on a minute, you believers here? Can you just meditate on that just for a minute? I don't know what you're going through. Well, an example here. Paul and Silas praying out to God, and they started praising, and the people around them heard them. The testimony. I don't know what song they were singing. Maybe it was something to the extent of God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And that jailer thinking, what in the world is wrong with those boys? Them fellas are crazy. They have lost their mind. They've got to be on drugs. They've got to be drinking something. That's just not normal. You know what it's called? It's called being filled with God's Spirit. And their testimony to the prisoners and then eventually to that jailer who was going to take his own life, it made an impact on them. And at this time, as they're singing and praising God, God brought an earthquake. Verse 26. And the earthquake, the foundation, as we read earlier, it caused them to be freed. The gates were opened. And because of that, the keeper of the prison was awakened at the earthquake. And at that time, the doors were opened and he was going to take his life. He's going to kill himself. Because why? Because in the Roman government, if you allowed a prisoner to escape, you were executed. No questions asked. You're a dead man. So he didn't want that shame and dishonor upon his life. He was going to take his own life. But it was at that time that Paul had been freed and Silas, and with a heart of compassion, he cried out, said, "Sir, please don't do that." You know, that's what the Christian is doing to this whole world. We're saying, don't harm yourself. The devil is saying, you take sin, hook, line, and sinker, you do what you do, and lives are being destroyed. He's the destroyer. And what we as Christians are saying is, sir, ma'am, do yourself no harm. Trust in God. In Jesus Christ. And notice what he does here. He says, don't take your life. Do thyself no harm. He says, we are all here. I'm thankful for this message. And the guy, this is where I see in verse 29, here's repentance and faith together. You say, where do you see repentance in verse 29? Well, when somebody comes trembling and falling down at your feet, I believe there's some sincerity there. Wouldn't you say? I'd say this person is serious about making a decision. And he said, and you don't ask this question unless you're under conviction. He asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And I'm glad Paul told him. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're here lost and without God, you say, Pastor, I just don't know for sure if I'm going to heaven. I've tried everything. I've looked into it. I've been to church. Maybe I've even been baptized. Maybe you've read your Bible through several times. Who knows? I don't know you. God knows you. He knows your heart. But this is the answer. What must I do to be saved? The answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Listen to this verse right here in John chapter 5, verse 24. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, the same thing that the jailer heard, the same thing that Lydia heard, the same thing that I heard when I got saved, the same thing you will hear when you get saved, is this. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Wow. Some say, well, how do you believe something you can't see? How do you believe something you can't see? Well, it's called faith. Yeah, I was reminded of a little bird. A little bird getting to that point where they're ready to get out of the nest. And that little bird is 40, 50 feet up in the air. And it's time to learn how to fly. Well, that little bird gets to the edge, and what does the bird see? Nothing. No platform. Nothing there to catch. It's just air. Can you see air? No, but thank God I can breathe it. Little bird gets to the edge, and all the little bird sees is air. So what does the little bird do? Well, God has given that bird that instinct to, well, the bird's got to go out. And thank the Lord, we even know and understand, especially I've heard this testimony of eagles. When eagles are learning to fly, many times they'll go out and they lose their balance, start wailing. And of course, the mother eagle comes right below them, picks them right up and lets them try again. Nevertheless, my point is that bird launches out, doesn't see anything but air. Well, listen, for the believer, you may not see God, but faith says, I know you're there and I'm stepping out upon your word. Your word has declared who you are, and I'm going to take it, even though I can't put my hands on you, God, I'm going to trust you by faith. And thank God, that's where the Lord says He's honored. It's believing from the heart. It's not reason, but it's not apart from reason. But you don't get to heaven by reasoning your way to heaven. It'll never happen. You'll never figure it out. And I'm here to say that if you wait until you get it all figured out, salvation that is, one day it'll be eternally too late. And my heart grieves at the thought that somebody in this room could wake up in a literal place called hell in the Bible and remember this service. When you heard the gospel, you heard what God says in order to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to tell you, if you're here today, God is calling you to salvation. He loves you. He died for you. He did not create hell for human beings. But because of sin, that is where humans will go if they reject the gospel. He created it for the devil and his demons, and that's where humans will spend the rest of eternity with the demons and the devil if they reject the gospel. I don't say that flippantly. I don't say that joyfully. I say that with a heart full of fear of someone, even here, that may go there. Unless, they believe the gospel. That guy here, he got saved. He came trembling. He was going to kill himself, but he said, this is it. This is what they're telling me, to be saved. And not only that, he went home. He shared it with his family, his wife and children. They got under conviction. They got saved. And then they got baptized after that salvation. And the Bible says they rejoiced. Notice verse 34. It says, and rejoiced. Notice the next three words. Can you read that in verse 34? And rejoiced in what? Believing in God. That's what it takes. I want to give you that opportunity. You might be here this morning and you'd say, Pastor, the display of salvation is very real. And I believe that God's calling me. I'm ready to make that decision. If you're here as a believer, you've made that decision. I pray that God Almighty is using you in your life, even when you might be in a dark place. You might be hurting right now because of someone hurt you. A hurtful circumstance. I trust that you'll have a revival in your heart this morning, because it's a lost world. There's a lost world that's watching us. They're watching us and they're looking. What's the difference? What's the difference? I'll tell you the difference. It's the joy that Jesus gives even in the darkness. We can let not with arrogance, with humility, but we just praise God no matter what, because we trust Him. So I don't know where you are today, but I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? And just the reason I have you bow your head and close your eyes, just is for the sake of privacy. God's doing a work here right now, and we just want to be mindful of that. I want to begin by giving an invitation for those that are here that are unbelievers. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You might be a member of this church. Your name might be on the roll, but I want to tell you that's nothing if you've never put your faith in Christ. That's just some ink that somebody used or some printer that put it there. It means nothing if you haven't put your faith in Christ. Maybe you're a guest here today. I don't know, but I'm just saying, would you please just take God at His word? I want to give you that opportunity right now. If you'd like to make a decision to put your faith in Jesus for salvation, not to become a member of this church, none other reason than for the forgiveness of sins and receiving eternal life, I want to give you that opportunity. If you'd like to do that, would you pray something like this from your heart, even now? It's not the prayer that saves you. It will be the faith that comes from your heart. Something like this. Dear God, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe He rose again. Save me, God. I trust You to save me. In Jesus' name. If in your heart you just realized that Jesus died for your sins and you just put your faith in Him right where you are, no one's looking but me, would you just as a testimony, no one's looking, and I'm not going to call you out, but you'd say, Pastor, I received the Lord by faith this morning. Would you just lift up your hand high enough so that I can see it? God bless you, sir. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? For the first time, I put my faith in the gospel for salvation. Anyone else like that? I wonder if I'm talking to some believers here this morning. And you'd say, Pastor, this message spoke to me just looking at Paul and the way he responded and how God used that to help, to use him to help someone that was hurting. I want to tell you, there's a hurting world out there. And God's going to use you to bring light. Don't go hide in a cave all your life. Get out there and let your light shine, believer. Don't get at the end of your life and regret that you didn't share the gospel, that you didn't make it a point to pray for the lost, that you didn't praise Him even when it was hard. I'll encourage you, child of God, walk out of here letting your light be renewed and shining brightly. Father, I thank You for the Word of God this morning.